Welcome to the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road here with messed up headphones, but I got Elijah Campbell.
Who needs headphones when I'm along?
Michelle Knezovic, intern Will. It's a Friday morning party here. Seriously, what did you do to the headphones, man? These were working all week. You come in today and they're messed up.
The same thing happened when I was here filling in producing not too long ago, where we had to go through, what, 4 or 5 different headphones? And so, only one had anything working.
So I think, like, I mean, honestly, I think there must be a thing where headphones get, like, zapped or something, and one ear goes out. Is that right? I didn't know about this phenomenon, but it has to be.
Hey, a couple of years ago, it was the adapters. The adapters on the headphones that you used to plug them in, that quarter-inch adapter, those things used to disappear. Like, you wouldn't believe.
Really?
Like, I was convinced we had a radio fairy coming in an overnight.
Okay, well, that's a weird...
jacking all of our adapters. And now it might just have evolved to headphones now.
That's a weird... That's somebody intentionally taking them, though. That's somebody removing them. This is hard to explain. I mean, I don't know. Anyone out there who is a headphones electronics expert, let us know. But in the meantime, Elijah... welcome to the show. The average age of the co-host this week has just plummeted today.
I have wrecked it.
Yeah, no, I mean, we needed to probably, you know, level it down a little bit. You've leveled it down some. It was 78 before this, and now it is. I'm sorry, Big Joe. I think Big Joe's like 91, right? I think so.
Something
he's,
like that.
He's a really spry.
The Methuselah of Nashville media, if you will.
No, he's a really energetic, spry 91-year-old. But
as spry as it gets.
That's right. But it's good to have you in. We're going to have a fun show today. We got a lot of stuff going on. We got a lot of Titan stuff going on, of course. We've got Kayla Anderson. We've got Teron Davenport. Adam Vingan is going to tell us about fatherhood, which is now an experience he has, and about young Arlo.
So this is
who
his
was
first,
born yesterday.
His first radio appearance as a new man.
Well, as far as I know, I mean, I guess it's possible he went on like some station in like Winnipeg yesterday, you know, or
oh,
Edmonton,
man. We didn't
or something.
Get the first interview.
I don't know. I would hope we did, but I'm just saying I haven't confirmed that. And we got Scott Corley, Belmont AD later too. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff with Scott and the top 25 ranked Bruins. And by the way, we are going to talk some hoops today. I mean, we cannot have you possibly. Uh-huh. Yeah, look at Michelle. She is pumped.
She's
in there.
Pumped.
Basketball, that is Elijah and I's niche. We love it.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you guys on Twitter talking about the Memphis-Tennessee game, which is must see. I hope that game is early. I hope that game is early, by the way. Because
they can have that anytime
the
they
Titans,
want.
I have to go to Pittsburgh that day, but if it's early, I think I can do it. Because that would be – no, I need it early, man. I want to see this in –
you're wanting like
a nice like noon
tip-off.
Yeah, nice noon tip-off at Bridgestone. But Memphis is – man, they are quite a story right now in college basketball. So we're going to get to that. And also, today we are celebrating – I mean, this is the birthday party for 102.5 The Game. 10th birthday party. That's a big one.
That's crazy.
That's a big one. And with that, we are giving away pretty massive, awesome prizes every hour. This is where I'm going to put my headphones on and deal with one ear.
So you can hear in one ear at least, right?
Yeah. So
okay.
So I want to make sure I don't screw this up, okay? And the good thing is we just started. I mean, who's listening now, right? I mean, I like the early segments because I'm like, I can just basically do anything.
This is like your preseason.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the preseason of the rest of the show.
Trial and error, you know, and then you get serious around 7:30. But we have something to give away right here, Michelle. Is that right? Or we wait until the 7 o'clock and then go from there? I know I got this email last night.
We're going to be doing ticket giveaways every hour on the show. The 6 a.m. hour, that one's going to be a little bit delayed. That one might be a little bit later in this first hour.
Just got to keep listening.
Can I say what it is, or do we just wait on that?
Yeah, we can
say
what they are.
So the first hour here, whenever we do it, is Eric Clapton, Bridgestone Arena, September 21st.
Yes.
There's a lot of good stuff in here. So be ready for that. For the most part, we're going to try to do it around the top of the hour. And have an all day, I mean, all day long. And then, of course, we're going to be out at Neighbors, too. The Darren Donegan Chase and Stillman and Company are going to be at Neighbors in Germantown as well. So it's going to be an all day bash. So there you go. Now I'm going to take these off.
now you don't need
It's them. Hard to think like that. But before we get into, first of all, I mean, we're going to get into Titans and all that stuff. And COVID and all these things, some things that are fun, some things that aren't next. But first of all, if you were running this show, Elijah, you got 4 hours, you got 16 segments. How much of this show would you make about basketball?
Oh man! After this week's news, and usually, like, I guess in August, I can maybe reserve one for it. I could do. I mean, personally. Your boy could do 4 hours of basketball talk radio here.
Yeah.
But with training camp going on, the Titans being in the news with some of their COVID positive tests with only, 12 some odd days until the season starts, that's a little juicy. But I think we could do several segments about this Memphis basketball team because you have arguably the most interesting collegiate sports team, not just college basketball, the most intriguing team in collegiate sports hanging out in West Tennessee with Memphis. Not only do you have
the
number one recruiting class in the country, you have the youngest recruiting class in the country. Imani Bates, who committed this past week, won't turn 18 until like January 18th. He is incredibly young because he reclassified. Jalen Duren, same thing. Very, very young. These guys both reclassified, so they're insanely young, insanely talented. And, they're coached by Penny Hardaway, who this offseason hired Larry Brown.
And, Brown and Sheed.
Larry Brown and Rasheed Wallace. So, this hiring Larry Brown in the year of our Lord 2021 is not something that could have happened without the assistance of NIL, correct? Like, there's just no way. Like, with the amount of trouble that guy's ran into with the NCAA or any other coaching organization he's ever been a part of, you can't do that without NIL. And also, over-under on bench technicals for Rasheed Wallace, I'm setting at 15.5.
Man, I mean, like, just as soon as Rasheed was hired, I'm like, I have got to get over there and like watch a practice. Like this has got to be what a collection. And then incredible. You add Imani Bates, who hesitant to oversell teenagers. Okay, mm-hmm. But he's already been on the cover of Sports Illustrated, and my friend Michael Rosenberg did a piece on him for Sports Illustrated, and basically saying he could be like the next Kevin Durant. I mean, like. And that may be a little much.
It's always a little presumptuous.
And in fact, he's not even the number one recruit in this class, mm-mm. technically, but he is a generational potentially talent.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know why he would think he needs to play point guard, but that's another topic
entirely.
He's gotten
some bad advice in that arena. When you're 6'8 with those arms and can shoot like that, others do the creation for you because you are the best scoring option on whatever team you're going to play on.
Right, score. So, but it's going to be it's going to be fascinating. I mean, it's weird. I saw Vegas odds that have, and then you think about them, and you think about what Tennessee will have too on the corner.
Tennessee, the number four recruiting class in the country, according to 24/7 Sports.
But I saw Vegas odds that had Memphis, I think, second now in terms of somebody tweeted out some Vegas odds yesterday that had Gonzaga definitely with the
lowest
odds. But Memphis right after that, which I was like, no kidding. That's it was like 9-2 or something.
There's a really good case for that. And that is because ever since Penny Hardaway has gotten to Memphis, now I on Twitter I saw the jokes. Oh, two ranked number one classes, no NCAA tournament appearance.
Right.
Ha ha ha.
Sure.
He had this the first one you can put an asterisk by because James Wiseman called it quits after three games because of the stuff he had going on with the NCAA. Well, he doesn't have to deal with that. Penny doesn't have to deal with that kind of stuff anymore. This class is going to play this year. Their best players in that class are going to play. And this is a team that, even though they were in the NIT last year, went 20-8 in the regular season, lost 5 of those 8 games by 3 points or less. This is a team that I get it. If ifs and ands or pots and pans, the world would be a kitchen and things are a lot different. But they were 2-5 in one possession games. The math only tells you that can go up. This is a team that easily could have been a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament last year if it's not for a half-court buzzer beater from Houston, if it's not from a couple one-point losses in January to teams that might not have been great. But if you survive those games, it doesn't matter. And you have a team that was number one in KenPom defensive efficiency over teams like Loyola Chicago, like teams that were the elite basketball teams. Memphis was the elite defensive basketball team in college basketball last year. They were the year before, too. Every year Penny Hardaway has been there, they've been an elite defensive team. They just haven't had anyone who can score the damn basketball.
Well,
they've been offensively atrocious to watch the last 3 years.
I think you're being a little easy on Penny because I think that what they do offensively hasn't been great either.
It hasn't been great either.
So, you can do some things. I think you're right. He coaches defense well. I think you can coach offense better than he has. But yeah, sometimes you have someone who's who can just get buckets and it makes everything better around it all of a sudden magically.
And there's two
shots fall.
Yeah, and there's two things. There's two categories that the Memphis Tigers last year offensively were in the bottom 50 in college basketball in. Turnover rate on offense, free throw shooting. You can't shoot 61% of your free throws and expect to win more than two of those seven one-possession games that I mentioned earlier.
It's like a Memphis tradition, the free throw. See, look, I mean, one segment, we're just talking hoops. It's amazing.
I knew
you'd come in here and just hoop eyes this show. I love it.
Exactly.
By the way, real fast on that, there is a little bit of question on the FedEx aspect of this deal, which of course was heavily pitched to Imani Bates, whether that's actually, because you're still, even though there's very few restrictions, you're not supposed to recruit with this. So, I mean, that is something to keep in mind on the whole thing. I mean, frankly, I would like that all to just go away and let's have an open market, but we'll see where
let's
that goes.
Drop some bags.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Bags have been getting dropped, so why not bring it all out to the light? But I don't know. In the meantime, we're going to get a break here on Robbie and Rex Road, and we invite you to join us on the phone or text line 615-737-1025, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And when we come back, we're going to talk Titans, Ryan Tannehill, the latest on everything going on in that building. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rexrode. I almost just said Robbie Rexrode. Robbie Rexrode here. That'd be a cool name, though. Robbie
you guys Rexrode. Just merged into one.
Lots of alliteration in that name. Robbie Rexrode. Robbie is in the Disney World. I don't know exactly which aspect of it, but I don't know. Is today the final day at a park for the Stanleys? I don't know.
I did see this morning. I was on Instagram. Robbie Stanley had a post out there.
Nice.
He got stuck on Space Mountain.
Okay.
I saw that. I saw the pictures he tweeted about being stuck on Space Mountain, and it looks weird.
Well, that's
you're not supposed to see that kind of
stuff. No, because, I mean, anybody who's been on Space Mountain or is familiar with it, it's dark in there. And that's the funny thing. I've heard about Space Mountain, which is hard for me to believe, is it actually isn't going that fast. I've been told that it's actually going way slower than you would think, but because you don't know where you're going, it feels faster and more like explosive. I've always loved Space Mountain. I mean, going way back. It's been a great ride for a long time. But yeah, so here we go. Robbie Stanley's got this picture of got stuck on Space Mountain. It was pretty awesome. And yeah, it's just like a bunch of. I mean, there's nothing aesthetically pleasing about that picture because why would they? It's just
it's
in the
ugly.
Dark.
Yeah, you're not supposed to see behind the magic curtain here.
I mean, they've Disney, they've got a budget. You know, they've got to spread the money around to other parts of the park. You know, they got to make sure the teacups are freshly painted. So that's
they only have billions on them.
Right? Yeah. They got limitations. So anyway, Robbie Stanley, I hope they're having a blast. Hope they have a good if today is the final day at whatever park they go to. Elijah Campbell in today for Robbie, and we're going to switch here to – we have more to talk about with Memphis basketball because there's some stuff going on with the FedEx thing. There's a story that came out, and it was about the FedEx involvement in the NIL deal. And, I knew – Imani Bates, I knew going way back, the only way he was going to play college basketball was if name, image, likeness was going to be very lucrative because otherwise he was going to go get paid in another professional league. So – anyway, there's a story that now has been sanitized of all references to FedEx, and a Forbes reporter has, the screenshots, and it's once again, could just be very interesting with Penny Hardaway in Memphis. I mean, they make it
juicy.
It's amazing. Yeah. But you got me headphones at work, so thank you.
Oh, yes.
I'm just going to thank Michelle for the whole week and in advance for the other various things I screw up today that you helped me with, Michelle. So,
Joe, thank
you. You've done yeoman's work this week.
You have been doing amazing taking over for Robbie, but we are definitely happy to have our point guard back in studio on Monday.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this is I'm like Imani Bates. Like, I should be, you know, just jacking up, like, you know,
threes
Philip,
off
Philip
the catch.
Seymour Hoffman shots off the off the glass, and instead I'm trying to play point guard. But it is a cue to call, by the way. So for the giveaways each hour, it will be a cue to call, as listeners know, and this means that then you must listen during the break for the cue to
That's
call.
Right.
So let's go to the Titans. Ryan Tannehill on the COVID list. Craig Aukerman, Mike Vrabel confirms to us, and you know it's kind of obvious, the last couple days of practice, Craig Aukerman, who was running practices, now is not out there. It was kind of, you know, it's pretty easy to put two and two together, but Vrabel confirmed that for us, that he's also, you know, on the list. Again, being on the list, that's nine people, seven players, two coaches we know of. Being on the list does not mean you had a positive. I actually very much, I'm going to give a shout-out to Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. I enjoy when national reporters are dunked on, and Adam Schefter tweeted, you know, sources say nine positives, and actually Ben Arthur said, actually, no, that's not true. They're not all positives. Some are on the list because they are close contacts. So Adam Schefter had a fact error, and Ben Arthur called him out, and good job, Ben Arthur. So we don't know who is COVID positive. We don't know who is merely on the list because of being in close contact. We do know that all of a sudden it feels like last year again. And we go.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of stuff came out around this yesterday. First of all, you know, the Titans are deemed a cluster, not an outbreak, which I mean to me, that word is reserved by the NFL for teams that are doing things wrong. You know, I know Bruce Arians is mad and he's talking about this dinner with Ryan Succop. But the bottom line is the Titans didn't have COVID problems, so they went to Florida either. So, who knows?
Yeah, it was also dealing with an outbreak themselves in that state, as bad as anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean,
you could blame it on anything.
It's bad here. It's bad there. At this point, look, trying to find blame for stuff like this is pretty pointless. We understand that people who are vaccinated, they are testing positive for COVID. I thought John Robinson yesterday probably had the best, one of the best, I think, little stretches of comments from an NFL person through all this stuff. He was talking about, one, how the vaccinations, everybody who has the vaccine who is getting COVID right now is having like a day of light symptoms and then they're fine. And then he mentioned how he knows of two people, and I guess it would be family friends, this week who have died. And his comment right after that was, the vaccine is life-saving. So, you know, I mean, this is real-life stuff where you're basically pleading for people to please understand what's going on and get vaccinated. The NFL has tremendous numbers. I think it's 93% vaccinated among players and 99% among coaches. And as Alan Sills, the NFL doctor, said, if this was society, well, we would be in a way different situation right now. But the NFL still is saying it wants to mandate the vaccine in the league, and the NFLPA doesn't want that. But then the NFLPA says, well, no, you never said you wanted it mandated. So now they're not even – they're fighting over what somebody said. But the NFL says, fine, we do want it. We want a vaccine mandate. I don't know if the NFLPA is I'm doubting they will go for it.
Tell me, a players union and a league are at odds over words that they may or may not have said behind closed doors?
I know,
I'm stunned.
It hardly ever happens. I know.
On the stream, you can see my shocked face.
Yeah.
I'm just baffled. This has never happened.
Yeah, shocking stuff. But when you look at everything, again, I think you have to give big kudos. I give kudos to the NFL, and that's not too often. But what they did created a created obviously a massive amount of momentum. Ryan Tannehill, one of the players who said, I wasn't going to get it. He got it because of it. Still, though, we have these positives. We have the prospect here as we move toward the season of just another messy year that's kind of like last year, different because we have a vaccine, but still way more of a mess than I ever guessed it would be.
It's still a little bit of a mess, and it seems like a whole lot of one right now, but you did mention that some of these positives are from vaccinated players. So one thing we established several weeks ago, whenever the NFL released their memo regarding the protocol changes for vaccinated players compared to unvaccinated players, it's not going to take as long for, so say, Ryan Tannehill tested positive. Just theoretically speaking, because we don't know if he did or not, because of Ben Arthur's report, not all of these are protocols, not actually all positives. He's not waiting. I think it's what he's 5 to 10 days can come back, and on the low, and like 10 days is the high side of that. I mean, he could come down positive in a game week and still be cleared to play that same week. Whereas last year, Cam Newton test positive for COVID-19 early in the game week, game's canceled, or he didn't play. You know, like we had that same situation last year where, if it happened to you during the week, you are definitely not playing on Sunday if you test positive on a Monday or a Tuesday. You know, this, while it may seem messy right now, I think this is it's good for the league, not just for like the Titans, the league, to get this out of the way, to see what's going to actually work, how we're going to be able to go through waters like this, because it's not going to be the first time this happens. As we learned with the Titans last year, when they became the first team to have a little bit of an outbreak, it's not the first time that this is going to happen. We got to go ahead and find a way to figure it out and test whether or not these adjusted protocols are going to work. And, of course, the Bills are going through something similar right now with unvaccinated players.
And that's different. And that's going to be treated differently, too. So with the Titans, you mentioned, you know, the timing. I mean, look, it's never good to lose your quarterback, to lose various players, coaches, your head coach. But, I mean, 2 weeks from Sunday is the opener. So, in theory, the Titans could be through this by the time they get to game week.
We'll be stunned if they're not.
Mike Vrabel was asked about that yesterday in his Zoom presser. Here's what he said.
Hey, Mike, obviously the COVID situation, you know, you guys are dealing with is unfortunate, but is there at least a sense of ease, or at least some kind of confidence that this is kind of happening now and not the regular season, that you guys kind of have time to, you know, get everyone back before the games start to count and whatnot?
Well, I don't think that there's any guarantee, Ben, that you know, situations won't arise in October or November. You know, I wish that we could guarantee that. I don't think anybody can. But as far as a timing perspective, we do have time. Not that we have, you know, time to waste, but you know, there is you know, a very real possibility that we'll have all those guys back and healthy and ready to, you know, to help us win and perform.
So that was Mike Vrabel talking about the timing of this situation, which, again, it's never good to have it, but he's right. I mean, obviously, you never know what may happen down the road. Obviously, we're seeing vaccinated people, and it's the Delta variant, as my understanding is. That's what it is now.
It's a safe bet.
Yeah. But again, you know, it's doing what it's supposed to do, which is keep people safe, and it's working. But just a matter of does the NFL adjust? I mean, Charles Robinson, friend of the show, friend of mine for a long time, tweeted yesterday like they, you know, the NFLPA was right, and they should have kept the protocols like they did last year. I mean, I don't know. I mean, frankly, like my initial reaction was I liked the change in protocols, you know, and also distinguishing between vaccinated and unvaccinated. But it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. On this show, where it goes, we're going to talk more on the football side of things, how this affects the Titans and what we should be looking for here. Today they've got a day of walkthrough, and then, of course, tomorrow the final preseason game against the Bears. We'll get into that next on Robbie and Rex, Road to ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tomorrow as Nashville SC takes on Atlanta. Pregame starts at 2:15 and the match begins at 2:30. And just listen to that beautiful sound of Loverboy rocking out on a Friday. I'm so excited that turned Michelle into a huge Loverboy fan. That's just great. How about you, Loverboy?
Oh, yeah. The kid is hot tonight. So that's on the ultimate playlist.
The kid is hot tonight.
Oh, that's in my bumps folder.
Turn Me Loose is I think that might be my favorite. But Hot Girls in Love, also another
classic
jam. And actually, that guy, I forget the name of the lead singer, but he did. He also did a nice, you know, rock ballad duet on the Footloose soundtrack, Almost Paradise. Here we go. Anybody out there, Almost Paradise, I'll look it up. But it's him. It's the lover boy dude and someone singing a duet on the Footloose soundtrack. One of the first albums I've ever owned. LP vinyl.
Oh,
Footloose
nice.
Soundtrack. Yes. Dating myself here. But anyway. Yeah. Have you ever watched Footloose?
I have not all the way through. I've heard the music, but I have never actually watched it all the way through. I have heard more 80s music than I have watched 80s movies, though. Because I've come in here the last segment this week and listened to all the 80s movies references, and I get 35% of them.
Oh, I didn't realize that you were – okay. Well, we're going to have to work on that, too. Yeah, well, Footloose had a reboot recently, right? I don't even remember who –
They did.
Which I'll never watch.
I don't know if it's worth watching.
But like,
or not.
The movie, I mean, Kevin Bacon is like really angry because they won't let him dance in the town. And he goes and he like does some really hard gymnastics. He's like drinking a beer, smoking a cigarette, doing some gymnastics. He's
gymnastics
all mad.
And cigarette smoking sounds like such a bad combination.
It's like those awesome 80s scenes where like it's like we got the music and it's like a little medley of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to pull off the beer. Now I'm going to do a round off. Oh, it's amazing stuff. You got to check it out. All right, back here on Robbie and Rex. So we're talking Titans, and we're talking obviously the COVID situation. We don't know where it'll go from here, man. I remember, I mean, last year when we got into this, when they had their outbreak, and it was daily in here on this show,
mm-hmm.
and it was Tom Pelissero is going to, you know, tweet out something, and I'm going to text a source and get confirmation and. Every day it's like, here's the new name on the list. Oh, there's two names. It was just awful.
I mean, every day.
And it feels a little bit like that now. Like, today, will there be someone added to the list for the Titans? I don't know. But in the meantime, they are out there practicing. It is very different around the facility. They've gone, you know, you see now everybody's back to, like, wearing the masks in the facility. They're back to not just being in normal, like, meeting rooms together like they have been. They're, like, separating out and everything. So they've adjusted their individual protocols or their team protocols. But in the meantime, I mean, there's a season to get ready for. Again, 2 weeks from the opener on Sunday, and it was just starting to look like, oh, Tannehill going to start throwing more to Julio Jones and A.J. Brown's out there. So how much do you think this affects that? How much of a hindrance is this going to be to them being ready for the Cardinals on September 12th?
None at all. I don't zero. Think it will. I will put zero. It at a zero. I am not concerned whatsoever, especially with A.J. Brown. Like with the A.J. Brown, Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, core of the offense, even Anthony Firkser in the offensive line. Like, we went through the same thing last year where they had to sneak out to, what was it, MBA, I forgot which, or BA, which private school in Nashville already. Not like this was just like less than a year ago. But they sneaking out to a private school to be able to play some pitch and catch and get their timing down. They went almost a whole week without practice and still beat the hell out of the Buffalo Bills, who were without a doubt the number two team in the AFC last year and was one of the biggest butt kickings the Bills suffered all year long off a team that didn't practice hardly any because the team had an outbreak. That's a good precedent. Like this offense has played with each other for a lot and on the same unit. The thing is, with Julio Jones, too, Julio Jones didn't practice that much in Atlanta either. I mean, on Darren Donick and Chase, we'd have Chris Domino from 680 The Fan in Atlanta call in and complain about Julio Jones not playing a lot in practice, not hardly ever practicing. Julio Jones, at this point in his career, doesn't need a ton of practice reps. Yes, he is with a different quarterback, but you don't become Julio Jones if you miss practice and still don't have that kind of chemistry with your quarterback. You had to do it with Matt Ryan when he didn't practice. It's not like Julio Jones has been in training camp every day for the entirety of his career. He's at that point in his career now that he's Julio Jones because he is able to establish that kind of chemistry outside of the regular boundaries of your practice time. I'm not concerned in the least bit that this is throwing off chemistry or that it's going to be stymied by, you know, this type of outbreak. They're still going to be – they've already put in a lot of work together, Julio and Ryan Tannehill. They've already established – what they like in passes or in routes, what they look for. If they haven't by this point of the preseason and training camp, what the hell have you been doing the last several months? Julio's been on this team for what? Almost 2 months now? I feel like they've already established something. This is the point of training camp where you're figuring out who's just making the roster, and then you're maintaining shape. Even though Ryan Tannehill's not in the building, I trust him to be keeping himself in pretty good shape, even though he can't come in right now. Julio Jones and A.J. Brown are doing some work yesterday. I don't see it as that big of a problem going into the season, especially since we're, 17 days away from the season starting?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but remember that, Julio Jones came in with Matt Ryan. Years and years with Matt Ryan.
Right.
It seems like it was working pretty well pretty quickly because Matt Ryan's a good quarterback and Julio Jones is Julio Jones is the best receiver of the 2010s. Like he'll always
pretty
own
easily.
That decade.
Yeah.
So I mostly agree with you. And I will, Tannehill, of course, we got Tannehill this week before he got put on the COVID list. And he had an interesting talking a little bit about he has his own cut ups of Julio. So he has studied, and I don't know how often this really happens with a particular quarterback and a particular receiver where it's like, I want to see all the cut. It's a unique situation. You don't often have a guy who's played this long in the league at this high a level come in and be all of a sudden now he's he's your 1A or your 1B receiver. But Tannehill has a big collection of cut-ups and has been studying that. Like you said, they've talked about it. They have worked together. They have been on the side field throwing together. That happened, that's happened several times, even with Julio missing so much time. So I mostly agree with you. I do think some of the little timing stuff and everything, there's just you can't replace just repetition, and they haven't had as much of that. They certainly haven't had as much of that as they would have liked at this point. But, again, you're right. It's 17 days away, or is that what it is? 16 days, whatever the heck.
It's
2 weeks from Sunday.
A hair over 2 weeks.
And I think, if Tannehill, if you time it out, you basically could certainly have him out next week. And then you've got a good chance of him. I guess if you take it to the absolute limit, then you would be talking about he'd be there for game week. So if you have game week and Julio Jones practices all of game week, I'm thinking those guys will probably be able to connect on some, on some passes in the opener. It may not be as good as like Tannehill's feel with A.J. Brown at this point. But, yes, I think Julio Jones, just the fact that he's a veteran, the fact that he can probably sit there and talk about every coverage and every type of thing that he's seen all those years with Tannehill is going to be a big benefit there. It's also, of course, we're not going to see Julio Jones on Saturday. We're not going to see A.J. Brown Saturday. But I watched them pretty closely yesterday as they basically are kind of separated out. Those two working on things, but running full speed. They look healthy to me. They don't look like they're limited in any way, limping, favoring anything, ginger at all. And they wouldn't be out there if they were. So that's the best news, is that unless some setback happens, and I understand there's a bigger picture, like, do you worry a little bit about A.J. Brown because knee stuff is coming up again, and we know he was playing through pain last year. But right now, I'd say it's overall quite positive that they're out there doing what they're doing, and they're going to have plenty of time to ramp up for the season.
That's the most important thing. Like, I am more concerned about the physical health of A.J. Brown and Julio Jones rather than the timing with Ryan Tannehill, because those guys figure it out. That's how the offense got so good last year, was because they were going above and beyond to figure it out, even if it meant breaking NFL COVID protocol. They were doing whatever they could to be able to figure things out. I totally trust that Ryan Tannehill and this receiving core is able to do that. The thing is just getting Julio on the field. He did miss some time last year. He only played in 7 games, and that was the biggest concern coming here. You don't get healthier, and you don't get younger as your career goes on. So that, what to me, is a bigger concern than anything. And even then, I fully expect them to be healthy. Hearing you say that they looked good in training camp, everything that I've been told about how they've looked in training camp, especially these last day or two, they're running around like they're getting work in, and that's what you expect them to do. Julio Jones is one of those players, like you mentioned, when you're the best receiver of an entire decade, when you own an entire decade of the NFL at a position, you've mastered the art. You know, you just need to keep yourself in shape and be ready. And I would totally trust, you know, Julio Jones to be able to do that.
Yeah. Now, if you want to get in on the conversation, the text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. You know, one guy I will say is a bigger concern who I think could catch a lot of passes from Tannehill. You know, Josh Reynolds is someone I'm looking at right now who has been banged up, told us it was an Achilles, looked real fast and looked like he had a nice stretch, and then like maybe another setback, and starting to wonder with him a little bit, you know, how are things going for him? Is he going to be able to do anything Saturday or next week? Because, you know, at this point, I would say Marcus Johnson and Chester Rogers have a better chance of contributing. But the point is they do have some guys behind those top two who have really emerged. And Ryan Tannehill is going to have options.
Those are going to be some hard roster cuts at the receiver position.
Incredibly difficult. So we're going to get into that a little bit more in the next segment and talk about a guy who yesterday in practice I think took a step to me towards cementing himself on this team. Next on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back, Robbie and Rex Road. ESPN 102.5 The Game, Joe Rexroad, Elijah Campbell in for Robbie Stanley, Michelle Knezovic, intern Will, and we're talking Titans. We got a big Titans-Bears tilt. We got the one chance for Titans fans to watch the Titans in the preseason, 6 o'clock Saturday, Nissan Stadium. I will say the thing that I'm flat out most excited about. Can you guess it?
Okay, it's got to be watching more Matt Barkley snaps.
That would not be it. Okay. I mean, he's been fine. He's been pretty good.
Sam Ficken be kicking.
Well, we are going to talk about Sam Ficken.
That's one thing I'm excited to see. And Justin Fields.
Well, that's it right there.
Playing a whole half of football. The train wreck that is the quarterback history for the Chicago Bears. Finally getting their savior, their golden calf. Getting to see what he's about. I don't know if you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited to watch him play. I mean, we're going to get a half of him. So, and I think that's good for the Titans defense, whoever's out there.
You want to hear the pressure that's on Justin Fields? Patrick Finley came on Darren Donick and Chase yesterday. He's a Bears beat reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times. Does great work. Was talking about Justin Fields telling the fans during training camp practices to stop chanting his name while Andy Dalton's taking snaps. That's where we're at right now. No one is in a more can't-win situation than Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
And if if Andy Dalton, rather, starts the regular season, it could get ugly.
Yeah,
it
well, really ugly yeah. And, well, Justin Fields was asked that after the last preseason game, too, about basically they're booing Dalton, they're cheering when he comes in. Look, the number two quarterback is often the most popular person in an NFL city, but especially if the number two quarterback is – the hot shot rookie and QB1 is a retread who should be a QB2 somewhere. I mean, it's like this is
in a franchise. All of last success came someone that was Rex Grossman at quarterback.
Yeah, you know? That too. I mean, it all combines for like, of course, fans gonna be like this. Now, I will say, you know, I think there's always a case to hold off before you just throw the rookie quarterback out there. In some situations like Jacksonville, of course you're going to do it. You don't have a viable option really. And also, I think Trevor Lawrence is probably as NFL ready, you know, as most quarterbacks coming in. The Jets, you know, I mean, there's situations where of course you're going to do it. You know, Deshaun Watson in Houston a few years ago, whatever. But there are cases to be made to like hold off a little bit, you know. It won't take long though. It won't take long because Andy Dalton's not very good.
It's going to take them going 2-4 to start the season.
I don't think it'll be that many weeks.
I don't think it should be.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess we'll see. But yes, that is exciting. But you hit on a guy who I think has a chance to. Not that I know this for sure. Like the Titans coaches are like, well, if he doesn't miss, he's our kicker. But Sam Ficken. Some things have broken his way here. Obviously, it's terrible for Tucker McCann that he suffers the injury that he suffered in the preseason opener when he was kicking so well, the best I've seen him kick. And it looked like he was really coming into his own. But Ficken, I think, also pushed him and was also right behind him and now stands alone. Earlier this week, Ficken had a couple misses in his kicking period in practice, and I was like, uh-oh. You know, now it's like it's right there for you. And, well, you know, it just changes the dynamic psychologically. You know, I don't know. Or it's just a bad day. But you can't have bad days. You can't have bad days and win this job. And a kicking job in the NFL, you got to be consistent. And yesterday he had a great day. He was pretty much right down the middle. Different, you know, they move him around up and down, left hash, right. They move him all over the place, give him different looks. And he was excellent. I think if he's good Saturday night, then it looks like there's a good chance Sam Ficken is the Titans kicker at least for 2021. How do you feel about that? If it's Nashville hot Ficken, which, by the way, Dennis on our text line, as far as I know, is the first person to come up with that.
Okay, credit to Dennis. That's good. Nashville hot Ficken is good. I came up with one during the break, the $1 McFicken.
There you go.
From the dollar menu, of course.
Which, that could,
of course,
sell.
Dude, inflation is no longer just $1 anymore. It's tragic. But
what? How much is it?
Oh, it's like $1.30 something.
Okay.
I mean, I'm going on principle here, not logic.
Sure, sure.
I think it's almost set in stone. Like, think about it. How hard it is to find a stable kicker in the NFL with good range. I mean, he showed off that range in the Tampa Bay game. That 58-yarder had some yards to spare. I mean, there is some clear ability in Sam Ficken that obviously the Titans like, that I like just by watching. Consistency hasn't been there completely, but I mean, you said he looked perfect yesterday. All the tweets that I saw during this kicking battle have shown that he's probably been the most consistent of the three guys that have been kicking at Titans camp in training camp this year. And out of those three guys, he was the one with the most NFL experience. I mean, he's been in the league since 2017, and he has had some track record of success. I mean, he did have the 2019 year in New York for the Jets was, I mean, 19 for 27. You're making 70%
of your
kicks. That's not good enough.
But he kept his job amazingly.
But 13 of 15 is the very next year, because teams know that he can do it. And the Jets probably kept him around because it's hard to maintain a kicker in the NFL, because kicking at times is also just incredibly random. You can have a kicker like Scott Norwood, who's one of the greatest kickers to play in the NFL, and then have him shank one to win you a Super Bowl when it matters the most, because kicking at times can be random. It could also be all about mental fortitude. I mean, there's a lot more randomness in kicking than any other position in the NFL. And how many NFL teams, Joe, do you think are confidently thinking to themselves, man, I love my kicker? There's like five.
You think, you know, that's it?
That love them? That, I mean, absolutely. That they go out in the field and you're like,
I think,
okay,
the Super Bowl champions love the guy who should still be here.
They will until he misses a few kicks, in which,
well,
of course,
sure. But I mean, right now, you think there's five teams that are confident in their kicker right now?
That love them. I'm using the L word. That love them. That if they miss a few kicks, you're not losing confidence in. Ryan Succop misses a few kicks, they might do to him what they did in Tennessee, or when he was in Kansas City. Kickers move around all the time because teams are also irrationally eager,
that is true,
to move kickers. They are the ultimate scapegoat in football. It's so easy to blame the kicker for missing the kick, even though in some instances you shouldn't be relying on that kicker to win you the game. I thought what the Titans did, because the whole town was clamoring for Gostkowski to get bounced after the first couple weeks, he got back on track, ended the season strong, and was a reliable kicker for the Titans. Not everyone's going to be Justin Tucker. Not everyone's going to be Harrison Butker or Will Lutz. Kickers go through that kind of stuff, and you just find a guy who's got good range and can make about 85% of his kicks, you're going to be okay. And Sam Ficken has proven in a couple of years in his career that he can be that guy. I think no matter what happens, he could miss one, maybe even two kicks on Saturday. I still wouldn't do anything to him. I just go ahead and tell him right now that you're the man. You need to be able to have that recharge, too. Martin Gramatica came on Darren Donick and Chase this week because we were talking about the mentality that kickers need to have, or what it's like going through a battle like that. And he says sometimes in his career he experienced almost burnout. You tried so much and you invested so much mentally to just win the job that once you feel secure when the season starts, you don't have time to be able to refresh and then prepare yourself for the season because you prepare to just beat the other guy in camp. I think if they just go ahead and instill that confidence in him right now, make him play a little loose, not like his entire season's on the line on Saturday in a meaningless preseason game, I think that's the guy you have moving forward.
Okay, so he just shanks stuff all over the place Saturday night, and you're like, well, that's fine, buddy. We're invested in you. We're confident in you. It's fine.
Who you calling?
Well, I mean, there's a guy who's like 10 miles down the road. I mean,
so that's
not every NFL. Well, I don't know, but not every NFL team has that luxury. And he kicked for you last year. And he has not announced his retirement. When he announces his retirement, I'll stop talking about him. But he hasn't.
Well, and that, it doesn't sound like other teams are calling him.
I don't know.
If Gostkowski is gung-ho and ready to play some football right now, there are 32 teams in the NFL, and I already told you, maybe five or six are in love with their kicker. That if they miss two or three field goals in a game, aren't cutting 24 hours later.
Well, but, I mean, you know, Gostkowski was very up and down last year. I mean, they only win in Minnesota because he has a huge day, but they almost lost in Denver because he, and then of course he hits the chip shot to win it. But I mean, he was he eventually missed the kick that you got to make to send the Pittsburgh game to overtime. Then he,
which happens with kickers,
sure. Yeah. But I'm just saying, it's not like Gostkowski at this point in his age with that, and then how it ended in New England, which I know was at least partially injury-related, but it's not like everybody's beating down his door. But it does seem like a nice fallback plan.
It would be, of course.
If you don't like what you have in front of you. I would say that if it were to happen, you know, it would have to happen like instantly, right? Like next week. You can't do the whole come in for game week and Steven. So
you don't want to get yourself in that cycle either, because they saw what happened a couple of years ago whenever Succop went down and you're cycling guys like Greg Joseph or Cairo Santos. And I mean, that's an that's an environment that demands perfection from a very imperfect art of kicking field goals. I mean, Gostkowski was great last year when you need him at the end of the season, because you stuck with him, and he was able to work through some of that. The best kickers are able to do that, and if you get irrational with cutting kickers and blaming a lot of your losses on them, then you're going to have that same cycle where you're just cycling every guy after every miss, and that is when it can get toxic.
Okay, so at what point do you get concerned then?
When he's missing him in the games that really matter. I mean, like, say he starts off like 1 of 5. Okay, then it's a here we go again. But, like, if he's hitting these in training camp right now, if he's hitting 58 yarders with ease in the preseason game, I feel like you have a good reason to feel confident that based off the last year he played in a full season in 2020, he was 13 of 15 with a long of 53. He hit long field goals.
Missed some extra points. But yeah, no.
Who doesn't in the NFL?
It's a positive trend for him. Last year is a step up. You also wonder, like, okay, so what did the Jets not like then? Why didn't the Jets want to hold on to him? But
look, the Jets. Yeah.
Well, that's true. And I mean, look, Cairo Santos. It's hard to argue when he went 0-for-4 in that 14-7 loss to the Bills in 2019. Like, it's hard to argue. Like, how could you stick with him?
Yeah. But there's games that
he moves on. But again, but kind of to your point, he moves on, and he's been actually very good since then. I mean, you know. It's been – and obviously Succop. I mean, that's the one that hurts, because Succop came back. He wasn't healthy. He came back fast. He wasn't good. And now he just looks like the guy they had for years.
Mm-hmm.
And how we would have all these different things to talk about had that gone differently. But it has. So maybe Sam Ficken is the answer. We will see. I think Saturday is a big night for him. We're going to get a break here on Robbie and Rex Show. When we come back, we're going to have Kayla Anderson from News 2 here on Robbie and Rex Show at ESPN 102.5 The Game.